Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Two words become one. Thanks plus giving equals thanksgiving. Meaning that in God's economy of language, there is no thanks without first being aware there was a giving. And there's no real having received the giving unless we have said thanks. This is the insight that the New Testament came across. It's why this meal that we're about to celebrate, the communion meal, was called in the early church Eucharist or Thanksgiving. In the letters of Corinth, by which Paul wrote four letters, he used thanksgiving 13 times. He opened it and closed it with a giving of thanks. When you were born in the world, there was someone who said, thank you that you were born. And when you leave this world, like Martha Redding did a few days ago, just shy of her 100th birthday, that you will say, thank you, God, that I lived. Thanksgiving is truly the frame for our life when we are into God's economy, God's way of living, God's way of receiving the gift that he has given us in life. The power of this Thanksgiving is being aware of what God has given you, is giving you, and will give you. You know that quaint old thing that used to be called the thank you letter? I mean, the one that you used to get in the mail. It had a postage stamp attached to it. This thank you letter tumbled out of one of my books in my library when we were cleaning up after some water damage. And it was from my aunt 25 years ago off the farm in South Texas. I took a photograph of it, sent it to my cousins down south, and just kind of relived the experience that this letter was about. The power of expressing thank you, whether it's by the traditional mail, an email, a text, a phone call, an in-person, eye-to-eye saying thank you. It's the recognition that something happened that was important, something happened that touched my life. And in this expression of gratitude, I want you to know that what you said, what you did, what you gave is a part of who I am now. That's the power of the thanks from the giving. And the giving of things then passes on that generosity to continue. Well, let's have some fun with Scripture on this. Okay. Let's look at how Scripture talks about the giving of thanks. You complete where there is a blank. That God so loved the world that he... The power of the thanksgiving continues. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, given to you as well. And this one's beginning with the blank. This day our daily bread from the Lord's Prayer. The power continuing freely you have received, Jesus said, freely. And it will be given to you. To whom much is required. When I was hungry, you something to eat. It is more blessed to than to receive. For God loves a cheerful, as we just heard from the Degen Hearts in their scripture, and from the book in Corinth, what we're about to celebrate, Jesus said these words. And he took the bread, broke it, and saying, this is my body, do this in remembrance of me. The power of this Thanksgiving is the story that continues on in our life that he gives for us. So in the kind of math that I can grasp, the kind of math that changes in my life from the inside out, I struggled with the algebra and the geometry and couldn't quite get through the trig. But the math that makes sense to me is what's called the old math of God. Take one cross and three nails, and it equals four given. The power of God giving his life and the Messiah mission of Jesus has the transforming power to add the full meaning of life, the abundant life, the rich life. So Jesus talked much about giving and thanks. He talked about the sower and the seed, and that the sower could give the, sow the seed, plant the seed in our terms today. And if the soil was ready, it could produce 30 times more than was placed in the soil, or 60 times more, or 100 times more, depending upon the condition of the soil. So the soil of your soul is determined by the preparation that you've given to the soil of your soul by thankfulness. Thankfulness is a way of opening ourselves up to be able to receive the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love coming into our life. So how do we do that? Well, one is to be thankful. Be thankful by who you are. The expression of words, written, spoken, are essential in terms of communicating what is from our soul to the life of another. But the ultimate thankfulness is who you are as a person. The power of that gratitude is a transforming kind of power. You remember how we began this message series about the four case studies of gratitude? We had the story about the one leper who returned to say thank you, and he received the added healing, the ultimate healing, the essential healing of salvation. We had the story of Psalm 46 about the fortress of God being our security with whatever is going on in our life. The power of that promise of thankfulness, and we use this understanding that may you live your life in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. Now, how do we do that? Well, by how you live your life, for those who know you but don't know hope, they will come to know hope because they see hope in you. That by how you live your life, those who don't know love will come to know love because of the love they feel from you to them. For those who don't know generosity in a world, they will come to know generosity because they see the generous heart of who you are. But being that thankful person is that person that is transforming within our life. You thought for that 15 seconds, and that 15 seconds seemed like a long time in the children's sermon of just silence. Be still and know that I'm God. And who came to your mind was at least one person, if not a lot of people, who God used to make you who you are. That's the power of this work. Become a cheerful giver. See, receiving is not just about receiving, but receiving is about being changed by the gift that has been given so that we then have a vision to see the happiness need and the opportunity of transforming others' lives by how we may give to them. Becoming a cheerful giver. In the passage that Duane and Sherry read for us, the word thanks is used three times. And there's this incredible line there about saying, for God loves a hilarious giver. That's how the cheerful can be translated. The kind of giver who says, can I give some more? Now, what's going on? Paul is writing to the group of people that know him, and he knows them. They're the wealthiest church of all the churches that Paul worked with. And he was needing to take up an offering by the Western part of the Mediterranean world, Western Christianity, to be able to help those back in Jerusalem on the Eastern Christianity because they were experiencing drought and hardship and prejudice against their faith. They were in a difficult economic time. But also, they were Jewish and the people in the West were Greek, and they had a hard time accepting each other. And God knew, I mean, Paul knew that in God's economy of generosity, that he could bridge those hearts that have been separated by an act of kindness that was unexpected, an act of kindness that was just given and done, because the heart was hilarious, the heart was generous, wanting to offer up what was needed for another. And the Christians in Corinth, this new coming to the faith of Christ and the work of generosity, got it, bought it. They were putting their money into the commitment. And they made a pledge, a large pledge, to those in the need in the East. But then difficulty happened in Corinth. We're not sure what, but some difficulty happening. Their goods weren't being bought in the marketplace as much. Maybe there was a drought with the crops. And they were saying to Paul, we need to renegotiate our pledge. We're not going to be able to give as much as we did. And Paul says, I get it, but let me remind you of some basics. If you really can't, you can't. But check your heart about a gratitude of generosity. Make sure it's not just that you're reverting to your old ways before meeting Christ of what's in it for me and I don't care what's in it for you. Make sure that it's not a retrenchment from your renewed life in Jesus. Make sure that you're not reverting on wanting to hoard things up when you get afraid and therefore you're not going to be generous with your pledge. If you really don't have it, God gets that and understands that, and he doesn't want you to give something that you don't have to give, though Jesus told the story about the widow and the mite. But he said, if it's any of the former, if it's because you're afraid in difficult times, if you're not sure about God's economy really blessing you by your generosity, if you think God really is kind of shriveling up his vision of wanting to bring his best to you, let me tell you, don't go there. It's not going to have a good ending. It's simply going to leave you in the unhappiness of your own self-centeredness. The power of taking that step and saying, even though it is more difficult than I thought, it is what my heart, in light of God's heart, wants to give. I mean, we just went through here in the sanctuary of Trinity Baptist Church a litany of scripture where it was just the language of God about giving and adding and being given to. That awareness that brings us to the communion table in just a moment of what Christ has given. Now, Thursday is going to be Turkey Day for across America, except for all vegetarians. And we'll have about 4,000 calories by the typical American, and I'll be there at a 4,000 plus one. And there are going to be family and friends around us, and you're going to be on your best behavior, and hopefully they will be too. But in your awareness, in this week, the grace of Jesus Christ is going to be required for you to stretch yourself in some conversation, in some relationship, that it's not going to be natural for you to be at your very best. But you can be there, not because it is just your best, but it's Christ's best at work in you. That's the power of this story. It's the power of truly being that cheerful giver. And then be an investor in God's economy. Always invest in people. Always invest in God's ways. And your investment will always bring 30 or 60 or 100 times more than was given. That's God's great economy. You give a gift, and then God uses that gift, blesses and grows that gift, expands that gift, puts it into place. The power of the gift of these Christmas shoeboxes. We're among churches contributing the largest amount of shoeboxes. They get sent to parts of the world that we're not exactly sure where, but this makes it personal for us. Zachary Ridgway, soon to receive his doctorate from the University of Texas in Music, grew up in Bulgaria, his parents being music missionaries in Bulgaria, and they were entrusted with Christmas shoeboxes of Operation Christmas Child. By his own hand, Zachary has delivered thousands of the boxes to children in need. From here, the church in the West, giving to churches in the East and churches to the South, and by which then churches in the East and the South can know they are not alone in this world because there are Christians who are lifting them up and thinking of them in this Christmas time. These flowers are so beautiful. Aaron, thank you, and those who give them. But do you know on Monday there's a ministry team that takes these flowers, rearranges them, and then takes them to people's homes or to the hospital? These flowers being reused again in such a just a simple way of God's economy, taking gifts, placing it in the hands of his people so the gift can be used. using the talents the Lord has given you unto his purpose and his way. The gift of who you are is a transforming. And when you're hurting and smiling and it's real, your smile is all the more the power of a presence that there is a strength inside of you beyond just your natural strength. It is his power and his promise. Tomorrow, we'll have a worship experience giving thanks to a woman who lived 100 years. Amazing to think of the change that she saw. And she had the agility of gratitude. Martha Redding had the agility of gratitude that's reflective in her daughter, Bitsy, and her son-in-law, Earl. And Martha inspired us. But later in the afternoon, we'll be in the sanctuary with a funeral service of a man who passed away in his early 30s. And so the story goes, but that family also is grateful for life that was shared for as long as it was shared. So the Corinthians got their letter, and they were reminded that you can't outgive God, and we condition our giving by our thankfulness. And so Paul concluded this teaching, this case study application, when he wrote, "Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift, Jesus Christ, who when he came to the table, he gave all he had."
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.